like to see done to your area that will change it totally? I like the water, I like boating, but I don't own a boat. And how many people are we expecting to use this area for boating? It's just that the local people are going, as I see it now, we're on the backside of this development. We're the guys next door. The traffic is going to come through our area. Delivery, any service units, everything is going to be along First Avenue unless the city has something in mind that we are not aware of. So we as residents are not saying we disapprove of their project, because it seems to be indicated that we don't want the project. It's not that we don't want the project, it's just how much of the project you want to put in our backyard. And I thank you for listening, and I hope you at least lower the number of units that's going to be decided and approved in this area.
Thank you, Ms. Sampson. Appreciate it.
Latavian Laster, followed by Stephen Graham.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I totally agree with what the previous people that just came up and spoke about. Only thing I may have different to say is I don't approve of six stories. I live at 120 Northeast 5th Street. That's directly close up to where the project is going to be. And I sort of feel six stories is too high still. I feel it won't be no privacy. My major issue is still also about the in and out of the roadways, and I mean, for like emergency units and stuff like that, I feel like it's still be too much for that one little street to take. And I just still feel six stories still too high.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
So when someone just signed in to speak, Eddie Dickens.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Eddie Dickens. I grew up and was raised over there in that area. I guess some of the issues that haven't been addressed, I haven't heard anything about what type of pilings will be used in the area, what type of effect will it have on the ground, on the homes around the area. I haven't heard any of that stuff. Nobody said nothing to me about that, or to us, I don't know. And also in the area, you cannot change the traffic flow in a small area that we have. We just have to deal with it, but I want to know what kind of we prepared for what's to come, for as emergency evacuations, for hurricanes and such and so forth. There is a canal over in that area. We prepare for, you know, if it's an overflow of wastewater over in that area. Also, the height of the building is a major concern. Nobody lives over there that we all have concern for it. People outside of there don't live there, so it don't affect them. It affects us. And, you know, we already have, like I said before to you before, we already have the high-rise overpass over there. You know, we don't want to be looking at nothing but hard stuff all the time. We like to see the sunshine also as well. We don't want to wake up to steel buildings and all this stuff around us. We want to see some sunshine as well. You know, I just think we ought to take that stuff into consideration, and we need to find out the tactics of method of or what type of drilling they're gonna be doing for the pilings and so forth, and the impact that it's gonna have on the wetlands and so forth around there. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Dickens.
The final speaker is Stephen Graham from the city of Deerfield Beach. He signed in for questions only, so I don't know if he wants to speak. Oh, sorry. Do you?
Good morning, Steve Graham. I'm the Assistant Director of Planning and Development Services with the City of Deerfield Beach. I am here for questions only, but certainly this item is before you because the application came through the city through its initial process and passed the first reading to be transmitted to the Planning Council. So, you know, the City Commission has already, you know, signaled its intention that it would like to see this matter reviewed further at this level. So, if there are any questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, that's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Mr. Mealy.
Thank you. Dennis Mealy, 200 East Broward Boulevard, on behalf of the applicant. Just a few responsive items. The plan for this building is to have about 5% of the units be three bedrooms. The balance will be split approximately equally between one bedroom and two bedroom. So I think that the school board analysis was accurate, and I think the traffic analysis is accurate as well. I don't think in a building of this type with a very, very small percentage of three bedrooms, you're going to have large families. Secondly, the question about being pushed out. When we had the neighborhood meetings, we heard a lot of questions about, were we trying to buy more property than what we've already purchased? We are not. We also heard people mentioning eminent domain. Well, clearly we are not a government agency. We don't have the power of eminent domain. And I think that I was at a meeting here at least a couple times when you had an amendment in the southern portion of Broward County where we heard a lot of the same fears from neighborhood people. And I don't think there was any intention of doing that there either. So I know that that was one of the comments made. We are buying this property and Freedom Marine. We're not looking at anything else. Boat traffic. You have these two major marine operations now. We're consolidating them into one. So I don't think we're going to have increased boat traffic. I think we're going to have it centralized in one location instead of two. And if you live in between the two now, you're probably going to see more, you probably have seen more traffic than you will see in the future because it'll all be consolidated in one place. There was a question about the height limit. The height limit in the city code in the district that we would be looking at is 75 feet. We are lower than 75 feet. So we are not increasing the height limit. There was a question about a referendum to increase the height limit, and changes that were made to Chapter 163 a few years ago no longer allow referenda for these kinds of things. So I don't think that's applicable as either. Why aren't more people here? Well, I would like to think it's because of the efforts we made between May and today to meet with the residents, talk to people about what we're doing. The meeting you had in May was a 10 a.m. meeting on a Thursday, just like this one. So I don't believe it's a matter of work schedules. I think that unfortunately, the common thing that happens is if you satisfy people, they stay home. If they're still not satisfied, they come out. So I don't think that the reduction in the number of people has anything to do with except that. Why the parks today? When we first came to the city to talk to them about our plan, the city showed us what they wanted to do with parks, with the park that's on the other side of the overpass that's part of Pioneer Grove, with the two parks here. So while the residents may not have seen activity on it, the city planners were already working on all three of these parks to do plans for the future, and we said, how can we participate? So it didn't happen as a result of us filing this application. It was already underway. There was a question about how we're going to build the building. The city of Deerfield Beach has outlawed dynamic compaction. We can't do that. And we're also not doing battered pilings. I'm not an architect, but I understand that those two methods would be ones that would cause vibration, and we're not using either one of them. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mealy. Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Chair Sturmer. I'm not too sure who the people are to answer this question, but maybe we'll start with council and they can get the answers from the other people. Right now, the waterway, the Hillsborough River, has the boat traffic on it between the two marine facilities. Roughly how deep is that? And is there going to be any dredging to allow deeper boats to go to the property that's further west that's going to be retained?
We are not doing any dredging, nor do we have the right to do so.
Well, you can apply for a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, couldn't you?
We don't see any need to do it, because if you look at that, first you have a bridge at Dixie that you have to go under, and then you have additional bridges as you go out further. So we don't anticipate any dredging.
Okay, so the depth of the waterway is sufficient?
It's sufficient for the boat, the type of boats that come to these two locations today.
Okay. Secondly, they mentioned that this walkway, one of the speakers who actually lives on the water, I don't remember her last name, but she actually has waterfront property right now on the river, mentioned the plans for the boardwalk. Legally, how is that being done? I know it's not eminent domain, you stated that, but how are they taking the properties that abut the river now to put in the boardwalk for easements or whatever? How does that work legally?
Well, first of all, along our two locations and along the two city park locations, that would be available today. Obviously, to complete the boardwalk, they're going to have to work with property owners in between or have some ability to put it over the water itself. I don't know how they're going to do that. The other thing that I did hear is a concern about people being there at night. And at least the design that I saw would be able to be closed at night, just like certain city parks are closed at night.
Okay, so to put the boardwalk over the waterway, that's like a littoral right or something like that. Again, I'm not an attorney, but I know there's different things that govern doing those types of things. How would that get done? From the city approval or from the Army Corps of Engineers if that's considered a navigable waterway?
It is a navigable waterway, but I would have to defer to the city as the method they're using. What we said is if they can make it available, we will help them build it.
Okay. Then the 75, thank you for having all the answers. So this, I'm trying to be quick. The 75-foot height limit that you stated, is that the height to the roof deck above the highest habitable floor, or is that, how is that measured from grade?
The city planner just said the roof deck of the highest habitable
floor. Okay, so you actually can have mechanical equipment and other appurtenances above that roof deck, just like some other municipalities allow in their zoning codes, correct?
That's correct. Our code does allow some mechanical equipment.
Okay. So 75 feet is the top of, say, a concrete deck above the top floor of units. But on top of that, you can get your cooling towers up there and a lot of other equipment that is not limited by the 75-foot height.
That's correct under our current codes, yes.
Okay. And then finally, there was one speaker.
If I could just add, our height measured in the method that you just described is approximately 67 feet.
That's not very high ceiling heights in those luxury condos, though, is it?
Six-story building, 67 feet. I just asked the architect.
Okay. Well, taller ceilings are nicer, but I'm just that. I just needed to know about the 75 feet.
We know that the height is sensitive, and we're trying to pay attention to it.
Okay. And then finally, someone stated about revitalizing the area. You know, there's all this talk here in the county and all over South Florida about affordable housing and workforce housing and things like that. It sounds to me from the speakers who have lived there, some have been there a long time, 20, 30, 50 years, someone said, wouldn't we call that area right now like affordable housing for the workforce that's there? I don't know who would answer that question, but, you know, I don't seem to understand how we have affordable housing and workforce housing in an area now that we would displace it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something.
Well, keep in mind, we're not displacing any housing. This is a boatyard and vacant property. We're not removing one single residence in doing either one of these projects.
Right. No, I understand on your parcel, correct.
And I think in terms of the character of the area, either the board members from Deerfield or the city planner could answer that better than I can.
Well, no, the reason why I'm asking is one of your speakers who doesn't live in the neighborhood, I don't remember who it was, said that this whole development plan and what's coming perhaps in the future as the city of Deerfield imagines it would increase development there, not on your property. Your property is simply just the first one coming before it. And I wanted to know why the revitalizing of the area was needed. He didn't say it was blight, but is that something that's getting discussed when you're presenting to the homeowners?
It sounds like someone up there wants to answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
No,
thank you.
I just told the mayor he's speaking next.
Okay,
so I'll defer to how the mayor will address that. Thank you very much, Councilor.
And before I do, Ms. Graham, and I'm sorry because I had I had someone in my ear at the moment, if you could repeat what your question and concern is. You're trying to say it doesn't need to be revitalized, that area?
Well, someone made a comment. One of the speakers, he did not live in the area, and he mentioned that this whole plan was to revitalize the area, not just this
That's
one
That's the Pioneer Grove plan that is on the eastern portion of this. This doesn't necessarily fall directly into the Pioneer Grove, all of that, but
okay.
That whole neighborhood. But it's mostly the neighborhoods that are to the south of Hillsborough Boulevard, including the City Hall area as well.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mayor Gantz, the floor is yours.
Thank you. And I'm going to bring up our city planner, not that he's going to owe me any favors, but I just want some clarifications. In fact, there are four different zoning areas, categories in this parcel. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. There's a mix of residential zoning districts and commercial zoning districts.
Okay. As Mr. Mealy pointed out, no one's being displaced on this. What you have now is a hodgepodge of zoning, and some of that zoning category does allow for the height this has been reduced to. That was one of our biggest concerns, going beyond the height. The 8 stories down to 6 certainly was something that we wanted to see, not just as a board, but I can tell you as a commission, we wanted to see that as well. That was one of our biggest concerns. Much of the issues that I feel that need to be addressed can be addressed through the site plan approval, which will come before the city. Whatever is built there is going to have an impact on the neighborhood because much of that is undeveloped. If you take the current zoning categories that are there now and you build them out to their maximum ability, you're going to have an impact on the neighborhood no matter what is built. And that's hard to kind of adjust for because people have rights to be able to build on property based on what the zoning categories are. So what I see here, this area does need revitalization. The Freedom Marina has been long been a thorn in the side of the city of Deerfield Beach between code enforcement violations that have piled up to ridiculous numbers and constantly been an issue over in that area. We have a park that has limited access that is a beautiful little slice over there, and we are desperately in need of being able to utilize it and do something with it as opposed to being an overgrown area with very limited access and very limited use. This area right now, if you look at that entire area over there, 71 of the 131 properties are homesteaded. So a little less than half of the homes that are over there are not homesteaded. That means they're probably rentals or absentee landlords. You have a lot of areas that are not developed over there. So this neighborhood, there are people that have been here for generations. And certainly, we don't want to do anything that's going to destroy their way of life. But change is needed over there. And this project, with the consideration that's been put in and working with the neighborhood and trying to reduce the height limits and what we have the ability to do as a city to be able to control and limit some of the impact on the neighborhood through our site plan approval process, you know, we fully support this project. We think it is a much needed item for this city. And I can tell you from the city standpoint, as a body that sits up there that makes these decisions, we don't just approve any single project that comes forward. We are sensitive to neighborhood concerns. There was a major project that was presented in an area that was desperately in need of revitalization, had not been developed in decades, over on Dixie Highway. We knew that that would have a tremendous impact, a negative impact. We listened to the neighbors. We came out, and the city of Deerfield Beach never even moved it to come before the planning council because we recognized that certain projects aren't right for certain areas. And no matter what it might do to our tax revenues, we want to make sure that we protect our neighborhoods. And that's what we would look to do. And we've done that consistently as a commission. Not everyone's going to like every project that comes forward. We understand that. We respect that. We try to work with the neighborhood as best as possible. I do appreciate the fact that the people that are bringing this project forward recognize that. Of course, it also helps when you tell them we're not approving it unless you lower the height, but they did that, which is what you'd hope would happen. It's not perfect for everyone, we understand that, but there are ways to work with them to try to limit some of those that might have a negative impact. Overall, this is going to be nothing but a positive impact for not only that neighborhood, but the overall city of Deerfield Beach, which is why we support it.
Is All right.
Good.
I'm done, sorry.
Mr. Grasso?
I've got a couple of things. First of all, I'd be interested in giving a member of the existing community a couple of minutes to come up and respond to anything that the applicant said.
Mr. Grasso, no, that's not how we do it. If you want to ask a question and get the community to respond, but our process is usually that the applicant speaks, the community, anybody from the public speaks, the applicant closes, and then we ask questions. We don't continue the back and forth of having people come back and forth. Otherwise, let's clear the rest of our day and we'll be here for the rest of the day. If people have a question, ask a question.
I have some questions for that then. The predominant neighborhood.
If you could also just, Richard, if you could also just use your microphone, please. Thank you.
The neighborhood next door, what are those, single family homes? One story?
Two stories?
Folks, Mr. Dickens, please, we can't be doing that.
So I put up the land use map so that, and then I'll switch to the aerial also. So you can see the surrounding land use here is commerce on the county plan, and the yellow is low five residential, maximum of 5 dwelling units per acre. When you look at the aerial, so primarily the development in this area is single family and I would say a single level multifamily in this area. You can see, sorry, let me go back to our aerial. So here's the aerial. So you can see that along, I think it's First Avenue, the development is not fully developed. There's a lot of vacant parcels across the street from this development area. To the north of the property is single family residential.
And you said the max density is 5 per acre?
Well, that's what the land use plan permits. I believe that there's some multifamily directly across the street on the west side of First Avenue. I didn't calculate the density for it, but it's multifamily on about, it looks like about, it's under the red letters multifamily. It's about probably 14 or 15 units.
The resulting density of this project would be?
The resulting density, the proposed land use plan amendment is to 39 dwelling units per acre.
And your recommendation that we would find it compatible, did I understand that to be based on a proposed landscaping plan?
So the policies in the county plan addressing compatibility in situations such as this, because there are plenty of areas in Broward County where we even have high 50 next to single family residential. And when we've done the analysis, working with the city really relies on setbacks and buffering through the site plan process like the mayor was speaking of.
And so on compatibility, you don't factor in scale, size, density, heights? That's not the predominant compatibility
So the assumption for a regular 39 would be either mid-rise or high-rise, so more than 4 stories of development. It's certainly weighed in, but the county plan does not regulate height or bulk or setbacks.
But it does require compatibility of adjacent uses, right?
Reliance on the city on the city codes is how the policy in the plan states it.
Our policy in our plan that requires compatibility is caveated by based on landscaping, buffers, and other such factors in the city code.
On reliance of municipal plans to address the direct compatibility of these types of uses.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Commissioner Rich. Commissioner Rich, if you have questions, please, I want to limit, if you have questions from the public, ask a question, and if you want them to respond, that's fine, but to constantly invite people back and forth,
I got what I needed.
I just wanted to make sure. Commissioner Rich.
Okay, so I think the question was asked about affordable housing, or was brought up by Ms. Graham. So I understand that the according to the Planning Council notes, Deerfield Beach affordable housing study was found to be in compliance with the policy that's been used. I want to know if there is any affordable housing. People got up here and they talk about multi-use, live, work, play, But people can't live where they work or play in many cases here. So I'm just asking about what, has there been any consideration, and has there been anything, a buyout at all with regard to this? Can you comment on that?
So, thank you. So I would say, in response to policy 2.16.2, the information submitted by the city was deemed to meet the policy. If you're deemed to, the municipality is deemed to meet the policy, then there's no, there's no buyout because they're deemed to meet the policy. The buyout comes if there's no information submitted by the municipality, or if the information is not deemed to meet the policy, then there's a buyout for a set aside of 15% or $1 per square foot. Some cities do have meet the policy inclusive of a payment, but that's not a buyout. It's included in their policies that they use to meet that. I would defer to the applicant regarding the consideration of any affordable units.
Mr. Mule.
Just wanted to make a couple of points. In the reports that you see, and I think it's attachments 12 and 13, the city of Deerfield Beach actually has a housing authority. Yeah. And so one of the things that was shown is the city, through its housing authority, has actually built 3 apartment complexes in the city and is working on more. And those apartment complexes are restricted, I think, to very low, in one case, and low income in the others. So although we will have units that will have rent levels that would qualify as affordable, we are not deed restricting them, which is what would be required if we were asking for affordable housing credit. The city's program was found to comply with the affordable housing policy, and I think the fact that their housing authority adds to that was a real plus. And I think that was recognized by your planning department staff and your planning council staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mule.
Okay, well, that's why, I mean, I think most of you know my position on this. The affordable housing problem is getting worse and worse and worse in Broward County, and we're not doing anything to fix it, as very little anyway. So there is going to be a rational nexus study done, and they've been contracted now with the people that will be doing that, so that we can, you know, get a better grasp on what is going on in this community. This bothers me because we don't have a lot of land, there aren't a lot of opportunities, and we're letting a whole generation of people just, you know, go by without doing anything about affordable housing. And I understand, you know, that obviously development is necessary. We have more and more people. As a matter of fact, in here it says that there's a potential need for additional residential units to accommodate the city's projected population. It's growing. So, but we have no place for people to live who work hard in our communities. And also the seniors, this whole issue of silver tsunami with seniors who are having no place to live. So I think it's very sad that we're just not incorporating that, and I understand what the policy says now, and that's why, you know, I'm focused on the fact that I think we need to revisit it and make changes to accommodate the crisis that's going on in our community.
Commissioner Castillo.
So back in 1974, when this Broward County Planning Council was created, and I was far away, the reason it was created was and put into the charter was so that a place as vast as Broward County, with as many cities as it had, would have a place where development projects could go and could be discussed to make sure that it made sense from one end of the county to the other. And in order to get that done, we created a document called the Comprehensive Plan.